in Newburgh to a little outfit there, and my first hour wasn't pretty, but beyond that, it came back really well. So let's see here. I'm thinking, are you the only Spanish speaker tonight? Probably. Okay. We'll do this in English. How's this? Which is good, because I'm not real fluent at Spanish anyway. But it was cool. We were talking a little bit earlier. And so I didn't know where he wanted me to go or what he wanted me to do. He just wanted me to fly. And I got in touch with this helicopter outfit in Switzerland that did humanitarian work. Because my inclination was, well, if I'm this old and I'm going back to flying, I want it to do account for something. I learned how to fly in the Army back when I was a young guy, and managed to hit during a time, a history or a couple conflicts, and I was pretty burnt out, got out, and so that's a little segue to that. But the idea that between my Army flying time and then 4 years ago, there was a lot of business experience and practical hands-on learning kind of things, which has come in real handy. So back to I take off. He says, go. I go and go to this little flying school to become current again. I look and I find this Swiss organization, and they say, come on out to Switzerland. We want to talk to you. And it's not cheap to fly to Switzerland. God provides the money. I go to Switzerland. And so that was kind of big, because this is during when the economy is upside down. You know, 2009, 2010, if you recall, it wasn't doing too good. And so I was thinking I needed to conserve, save all the money I could. I mean, that's the prudent thing to do, is it not? Well, and they says, we want you to go to Indonesia. And we yes, sir, we're going to Indonesia. But first we want you to go get some cross-cultural training in New York. And while I was in New York, there was a doctor at this hospital in Costa Rica who called up and said, you know, we'd like to start a program down here. Do you have anyone who I could talk to? And, well, this Norwegian guy happened to answer the phone, and he says, you need to talk to this guy. And because in the Army, I'd flown in Costa Rica as a young guy, so that made me the resident expert. They'd have a disaster, and Uncle Sam would send us there, and we'd help them out, and they'd be trapped, or we'd fix their bridges, or wherever. So being the expert of Costa Rica, I talked to this young man in the hospital down there, and he shared they wanted to start a flight program, and that would it be possible that we could continue to talk about it? I said, sure. I just thought, I can answer questions or give him things to work on. One is, helicopters are expensive, and so you need to think about, you know, I gave him a handful of things, this administrator, and he would do these really well. I'd get back to him, well, what'd you find out? How'd you do? And I was amazed. This guy, he's very articulate. Come to find out, he is number two guy in this hospital. He did his residency at Mayo Clinic in Minnesota. I think it's, yes, Minnesota. I keep wanting to say Michigan, but that's not right. Okay. And so he was offered a staff position there, but he wanted to go back to his country in Costa Rica. He is Costa Rican, and minister to the indigenous folks there. His name is Alexei. Is that Spanish? Alexei? No? Okay. Yeah. So anyway, Dr. Alexei, we were talking, and then after about 6 months, it was time to help him connect some dots on some things. So I thought, I'll just go down there. So what started as purely a consulting gig on my part turned to, there was more and more ownership, and I went down there, and we had a series of meetings with a bunch of individuals, and that was amazing. So we had people who were willing to help us, and whenever you talk about aviation and missions and reaching the indigenous folks, there's always a thought that everybody wants an airplane or helicopter, but they don't realize how much they cost to operate, and the programs and such, all the infrastructure. And so I thought, well, you know, how serious are you guys? He says, well, we're building a parking garage because they're landlocked in San Jose, and we want to put a helipad on top of it. Well, that really registered with me because that's an expensive endeavor. And then I thought, oh, it's just a little hospital. But when I went to the web, there's like five stories. They are the equivalent of OHSU, Oregon Health Science Center, in Central America. So if you need a part replaced or an organ, or they can do it. People go there. They're amazing. And the hospital was started in 1929 as an outreach to orphans, whereas Costa Rica has had a quiet history. You know, it's next to Panama, and that has a more history with the canal and everything. Costa Rica was like, no one knew what to do with it because they had so many orphans there. So this Latin America mission started this hospital in 1929 for these little orphans. Well, it just grew and grew and grew until it was like the tail wagging the dog, where the hospital is bigger than the missions organization. So the missions organization, LAM, said, you know, we're going to spin you guys off because we're into missions. We're not into hospital. And so they handed it over to some local Christian businessmen, and they've done an awesome job. It's still nonprofit, and they've got all the latest CT scanners and MRIs and all that other stuff. But they do a lot of benevolent work with the indigenous or just regular Costa Ricans that come by. If they can't afford it, it's gratis, free. And of course, a lot of the indigenous, if we bring them in, they don't have many resources. We don't barter too much with chickens or sweet potatoes or whatever. It's a little hard to put that in a gas tank. And, you know, we just bless them with whatever they need. Sometimes they get bit by the snake or lose a fight with some kind of critter in the woods, or they break something, and we take care of them. I think first, just would be good, as I'm going to show you, wake up my computer here. I'm going to show you what the indigenous look like and their environment. Their life is very simple, but it's difficult. It's kind of like here in the States, they were given some land, and the federal government there gave them this land and said, have at it. And it's not exactly like what we did with our Indians, but then they just kind of forgot about them, let them do their own thing. And, okay, here we go. They have a hard life. They're called Quebecers. C-E-B-E-C-A-R, Quebecer. They have their own distinct language. They're only there's different tribes, so to speak. There's about seven. There's probably 25,000. They're losing their language. They're losing their identity. you're supposed to have, what, 2.1 kids in order to maintain your people group, and they're not doing that because of infant mortality. Did something go to sleep here? Oh, there it is. Okay. There's high infant mortality and death due to accidents and bites and sickness and so on and so forth. What Dr. Alexi did after his residency is they went down and lived with them, and they said, what would you like? What do you need? Instead of just throwing resources at him, we're good at that here in the United States because we have lots of, we throw resources at. They said, what do you need? And we said, well, you know, a lot of our babies don't grow past age one, and we're losing people in the rivers. The rivers can, they're crossing, while they're crossing the river, and the river swells and it washes them away. This Stein Corporation is, they make medicine out of tropical plants. They made this for us. We got some sound. There's jungle sounds here. Supposed to be. Here.
For centuries, amidst this thick vegetation, thousands of species have been witness to the harmonious coexistence between nature and the original populations of Costa Rica. In this small Central American country, there is an indigenous community that is a faithful example of the preservation of cultural traditions, the Cabecar community. However, like most of the indigenous populations of the American continent, the Cabecars have been relegated to faraway territories and have been ostracized, with deficient services in all areas, especially in health and education. The Cabecars are distributed among three territories of the Chiripó indigenous region to the east of the country. These are mountainous territories with deep jungles and untamed waters. In order to arrive to the populated areas of easier access in Low Chiripó, one of the three indigenous Cabecar territories, one must cross a few limited roads during the summer, which look more like dried up creeks. During the rainy season, these are impassable, limiting any kind of supply or urgent assistance. A large part of the indigenous territory is only accessible on foot or on horseback. Here, it is common for women with children on their backs to have to walk up to 8 hours under an unmerciful sun or under the rain in order to reach a food supply or the nearest health center. Those people who come from the further away communities come up against one of the major obstacles. The Chiripó River. Each year, this river claims the greater number of deaths by drowning in the territory, which is why before adventuring to cross it, one must measure well the precise moment to do so. As if it were a pilgrimage, men, women, and children permanently risk their lives with the river flow. In other places, a cable installed more than four decades ago allows one to cross over above the waters on a small carriage called an andarivel, or cable ferry. A risky way that requires great individual effort. With a social development index of zero, Chirripó classifies as the least developed district of Costa Rica. It was until 1990 that the government of Costa Rica handed out official citizenship identification documents to the Cabecar indigenous people of this area. The large majority are farmers who trade their surplus in order to subsist, especially beans and bananas. The Cabecar indigenous people are the poorest among the poor of Costa Rica. This difficult situation, present for a population of nearly 7,000 people in the indigenous territory of Chirripó, motivated the doctors Alexei Murillo and Judith Donteman to undertake the work oriented towards improving the living conditions of this population. After completing their specialization in family medicine in the United States in 2005, they founded the Association Project Emmanuel with the purpose of promoting, driving, and executing projects of integral sustainable development as a response to the physical, spiritual, and emotional needs of the population of this area. Project Emmanuel is a non-profit, non-governmental organization founded on Christian values that facilitates the financial and logistic support for the execution of community development programs that are sustainable and integral in the area of Chirripó. Although the access routes were
These folks are animists, and which they have hundreds of gods, and they're in the trees and the grass and stones and rocks and everything, and they've heard of Jesus before through Jesuits and other missionaries, and so Jesus is good. Let's just throw him in there, and why not? You know, the more the better. What Dr. Alexei Murillo and Judith Dunteman, husband and wife, they do names different down there. Anyway, by asking them, how can we help you, or what do you need, then they can address those things directly. So what they are doing is a community development within the indigenous that is kind of a different aspect. So your neighbor has a flat tire. You go over there and you help him with his flat tire. Or, let's see, it doesn't snow. Where I'm from, if it snowed, you'd help him shovel out the walkway. Or it's just something like that. Maybe your neighbor needs some help. Your neighbor's bicycle tire's flat, and you know how to do that. So that really gets their attention. And a lot of times it's just like here, is that we've all heard about Jesus. And in December we go to a concert or something at a church that talks about Jesus. And on Easter there's talk about Jesus also. But there's those in-between times that will catch someone's attention, whether it's the flat tire or you know, maybe their funds are short for the month, and you help them out a little bit. It's there's just so many ways to do that, and in a lot of ways, it's very similar to what we're doing up there. Is trying to catch their attention in a different way. If by chance that they don't lose anybody in the river by the bridges that we put in, that catches their attention. If they lose someone in the river, so you're in the river and you have the produce that you're going to sell for today. And then you're washed away. So not only is your family missing today's income, but they're missing you, a productive member of that society. And since they don't have a lot of family members because they don't make it past 1 year old, that's a critical thing. Now, you and I can miss 1 day's worth of income. It's pretty tough when they miss that income. That catches their attention. It's going to show about some gals, some young gals that they're working with, and they're trying to address the infant mortality aspect of it. So a Quebecer woman doesn't know how to take care of herself when she's with a child, or how to take care of the child afterwards. Just the care that we receive here in the United States is far superior to what they get. And so, therefore, there's a lot of infant mortality. Personal hygiene is a biggie, that they want to address this. And what Alexi and Judith did is they went to the chiefs of these people on the reservation, and they say, could we have a dozen of your young ladies to, this is what we want to do. We want to send them out to your village by twos, so that they can help educate your ladies that are pregnant, and they use a different word, but anyway, that how to take care of themselves and how to take care of the child, and that kind of thing. And so they did, and these young gals have had a lot of classes each week. They come off the reservation and they meet. They are taught personal hygiene and basic health care things when you're pregnant, and how to take care of a baby. Some of these gals are not sure when they got pregnant. I mean, it's really first base kind of stuff from zero. And it's going to show it here in a minute, but these young ladies have done a tremendous job. They've just graduated to where now they can go out, because if you're a Quebecer woman, you will not see a white male doctor. You will not go. If there happens to be a doctor that comes out, or you happen to be in town, you will not see a white female doctor. You might see a dark female doctor, but for sure you will talk to someone from your own people group, because they're very discreet and bashful or shy about their issues. So, I have a discharge, or I'm just not feeling well, or this baby's acting up, or something like that. So these gals that Dr. Alexi and Judith are talking to, they're in training, they know the language, they know the culture, and they probably know the people personally. So the Quebecer women have no problem going to them with any physical symptoms or issues. That gets their attention.
Initially an obstacle to establish cooperation relations with the community, the main barrier to overcome was to win the trust of its residents, since they have been forever submitted to false development promises. The work began addressing different demands, among them the preparation of the design and later construction of pedestrian bridges over the largest rivers of the territory, among them the Chiripol River. Under the leadership of Dr. Murillo and other members of the project, these works were performed with the participation of men, women, and young people of the Quebecer community. These bridges were sponsored and developed by the engineering department of the Hospital Clínica Bíblica in collaboration with other private organizations.
Kai jiko na ta do chia mi katos kadi tso tsor taingwa es da jonang wa jonang kraken is kari hatso 17 sa jonang krahui tsor nya kai sa jo krahui kati ke li seo ral shikawari ne hekei di tso 3000 kai re shi krabe ke ni 5000 krabe he di tso bena tsor heki sami shi nya ga ti kera kya taingwa heki he jona pa hya sa ya mama ita hiyo ta ri ki boina pa hya he me shi ke posa ni kar
sa kete wa ka hi puente ke hile ke chur pa ni ra hile bena ra dare re si sa he bena ya se di tso mi kata wa bena ya kaire hije kunata semina kredri thangra her sadwa kaire re sadda kesani reli ata ihari kra de hurira ta satkani ra jisin ser ku khuna chenai re era se tsore bai he kingu ge ta ke.
But the demand for this type of bridges and others of larger dimensions that may allow both pedestrians as well as vehicles a greater exchange of merchandise is necessary in other places of the area. To the dangerous river crossings are added the distances between the hamlets and trails of difficult access, which prevent many families from having minimum health services. And the few that can be assisted by the state system are subordinated to limited schedules. The visits of mothers with their children are sporadic, and many women wait until their children are ill before visiting a health post, sometimes until it is too late. If there is an emergency, it is difficult to find supplies in the posts assigned. The greater part of the morbidity is due to infections, largely because of the hygienic and overcrowded conditions. With the purpose of facing these problems, Project Emmanuel initiated a program in order to address infant morbidity, infant mortality, and maternal health. The goal is to reduce the infant mortality rate by at least 50% at the end of the first 5 years of the program. That is how Life Bridges came about, a program of maternal child training promoted and executed by Project Emmanuel. As well as focusing on preventive medicine, it also has the objective of training young women who will in turn become instructors in their own communities.
Muy bien. Mire, se va a criar a llorar, cuidado, ve, cae, mire, se va a llorar, capaz, no con la ve. Es bien que se va a llorar, que se está la te cune, te chulite, ve, te está en la te que, hasta girará, ya va con el sol, con el sol, que te está se va a ver con el sol. Girará como manera de con que va a ser, está mal que está, se cae, la gira gira, mal que está, y manera de salta, mal que está, se va a dolar, se va a dormir, se va a dormir.
In this context, Project Emmanuel, with the purpose of supplementing the medical assistance for the Kabekar population, also offers support towards the traditional medicine transmitted from generation to generation.
Bueno, esta planta la llamamos en Kabekar Poponyao. Esto es tratamiento para leishmaniasis
o papalomoyo.
Papalomoyo.
Maybe one of the greater problems that the communities face lies in the absence of integral education programs. Although it has improved very much, the quality of education in the indigenous territory is inferior to that of education in the rest of the country. This has been a constant concern since the arrival of Project Emmanuel. Permanent work has been performed for the improvement of schools and some school canteens. Today, as well as continuing to work and strengthen the achievements reached up to this moment, Project Emmanuel has amongst its objectives the construction of more pedestrian bridges. It is working for the construction of rural aqueducts and the construction and repair of health posts. It also encourages different recreational projects addressed to children and teenagers, among them rappel and rock climbing. This type of activity, under Mark Long, who follows all the safety measures, stimulates togetherness, healthy recreation, and group participation.
Henry, Vivian!
It is due to the success in executing social programs that Hospital Clínica Bíblica and Steincorp have come together alongside with Proyecto Manuel to be able to execute more of these programs. It is our hope that we would continue to work together in order to improve the quality of life of those in the indigenous population.
Thank you.
Although all the efforts have resulted in some achievements, these are not enough to satisfy the urgent demands of this population. The participation and the aid.
Okay, so as I transition to another short, just a short video here, give you an idea of what we're up to. As you may have guessed, that the aviation part of this is where I come in. As the indigenous folks, the further you get in, the harder it is to get these bridge materials and take people out there, doctors, bring people in, EMS. I believe they have you see helicopters around here, a life flight or mercy flight kind of thing. A lot of cities have them, and so there is no such thing down there. If you got bit by that snake or something, they would just put you in your hut, call the witch doctor, and just get you ready for the next life kind of thing. Here, we can get them in to receive help and share the gospel with them. That gets their attention. This next short video is totally in Spanish, so I apologize we haven't got the English yet, but at least you're happy camper, okay? All right. Anyway, I'll stop it at spots, and I'll give you a real brief, maybe I should have you, translation. And this is where I come in. This hospital with this parking garage.
Hoy más que nunca el Hospital Clínica Bíblica es un centro médico de altura. Así es, en julio no solo celebramos el 83 aniversario del hospital, sino que además inauguramos nuestro primer helipuerto y torre de estacionamiento para 1,100 vehículos en el centro de San José y a disposición de la salud de Costa Rica. Su misión es clara y definida: salvar vidas. Se trata del primer helipuerto del Hospital Clínica Bíblica, que se inauguró el pasado 15 de julio justo en el corazón de San José. Una ubicación y un diseño estratégico, este helipuerto, que tiene capacidad para que maniobren tres aeronaves al mismo tiempo en la azotea de este nuevo edificio, se convierte en una verdadera solución, pero no solo para nuestros pacientes, pues la junta directiva y sus jerarcas decidieron ponerlo a disposición de todos los costarricenses para casos de emergencia a nivel nacional y traslado de pacientes de zonas rurales hacia los diferentes hospitales públicos del país, ratificando su compromiso e interés por contribuir con la sociedad a través de acciones concretas de responsabilidad social. Se pensó en todos los detalles, como que la ambulancia llegue hasta la azotea para brindar la mejor y pronta atención a los pacientes.
Tranquilo, señor.
En solo segundos se puede llevar a las personas a...
there's any questions, we can take some now. If that's all right with you. Any questions at all? Yeah. Thank you very much, Paul, for coming and sharing with us. You're dismissed now. Thank you.